Newly appointed interim lead pastor, and thank you. It's such an honor to serve in this role, and I'm really thankful to the session and the Women's Council for appointing me and calling me into this role, and would love for your prayers as I'm serving in this role, but not just for myself, but for us all, that we would together learn to listen to the Lord and be led by Him during the season, and learn to love Him and then love each other, and so that the Lord can bring us to the next phase. It's always a journey, but that the Lord can bring us together into where He wants us to be. And I just want to say, it's an honor to be serving with the session and the Women's Council. They have been tremendous in terms of leading and shepherding during this time of transition. It's been, in many ways, a very difficult time in terms of leadership. They have really conducted themselves with integrity and with care and compassion for the whole body of Christ. And it's just a thrill for me to be a part of this team. So I just want to just thank God for them. And just looking forward to working with them in this time. For today, we are looking at this passage in 1 Corinthians 12, and doing a little something different today. We have our annual missions conference, and this is supposed to be the beginning of it, and we have events that are lined up on Friday and Saturday here at Renewal Church, and the Center City congregation is going to be joining us for that, and I'm going to invite you to do your best to participate in all of the things that are being offered. So this sermon is part of the missions conference, but it's also part of the ongoing series in the body of Christ. It's doing double duty today. So far, our series has focused a lot on the life of the local church. But today, we're going to zoom out and take in how our life together here in this corner of West Philly is also vitally connected to the much larger global church, the global body of Christ. So if you had a superpower that allowed you to see all around the world at the same time today, to Accra, to Seoul, to Manila, to Lima, and all of the other cities, you're going to see believers gathering in every time zone, worshiping in countless languages and in cultural styles. There are now more Christians worshiping in Nigeria alone than in all of Western Europe. The typical Christian today, historian Philip Jenkins notes in his book, The New Christendom, is a woman in the global south, perhaps in Lagos or Sao Paulo, but not in London or New York. The church is growing the fastest in Africa, Latin America, and parts of Asia. The center of gravity of Christianity has shifted southward and eastward. It used to be assumed that Christianity was a Western religion, but you can't say that anymore. Jenkins said that the biggest news of the 20th century is that no one knows about is how dramatically the center of Christianity moved from the global north to the global south. This isn't a loss for the Western church. It's actually the body of Christ becoming more fully itself. What Paul described in 1 Corinthians 12, one body made up of many members, all animated by one spirit, is unfolding before our eyes on a global scale. This shift is not just demographic, but it's theological, it's missional, and deeply spiritual. We are members of this vast global body of Christ, and we share in the common purpose with all of the believers throughout the world. It's the mission of God who is redeeming all things. And I'd like for us to meditate on this today in three parts. The first part is one spirit, one body. Second part is many members, many gifts. And the third part is one mission, many callings. So let's look at the first part. One spirit, one body, which is really talking about our common identity in verses 12 through 13. Paul says, we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And as we've been learning throughout the series, this emphasis on the unity of the church, this is a bedrock principle. This is an essential. But the Christian church in Corinth, that church was in danger of becoming divided. They were being divided by social lines, ethnic lines, and spiritual gifts, and which is more spiritual and which is more common. And they were involved in sorting out their status and who's who on the pecking order of things. And so they were asking questions like, who is preeminent? Who gets the spotlight? Who calls the shots around here? And these are the kinds of questions that the Corinthians were obsessed with. So they fell into comparisons. They compared their ethnicities. They compared their cultures. They compared who had the so-called greater spiritual gifts and who were spiritually superior. And they used that to claim greater privilege for themselves. And Paul addresses this division. And notice how he addresses this. He doesn't, first of all, say, stop being so selfish. Stop being so immature. Learn to share. Learn to take turns, which are all, you know, true enough things that are necessary for if you want to live life together. We learn all of these things in kindergarten. I hope we did. But we don't always learn them very well. What Paul says first and foremost, though, is remember who you are. Remember who you are. Before Paul tells them to behave differently, he reminds them that they are different. They are a new humanity in Christ. Now, see, the gospel doesn't just tell us to be nice, moral people. It creates a whole new people. Jesus' resurrection signaled that God has acted to create new heaven and new earth with Jesus as the second Adam in the new creation. The body of Christ consists of everyone who put their faith in him, and now they're being gathered as new humanity for the new creation. And in the church, what we're supposed to be about is learning how to be this new humanity for this new creation. In the church, we are learning to imitate Jesus, to share in his life, to worship God and serve God by reflecting his image in the world, you know, the way that we're supposed to be, how we are created to be. So being truly human as Jesus was and still is, truly human is what we're supposed to be learning in our life together as church. And that's what we are doing here. And the discipleship is that training, right? We're learning how to become this new humanity. And so Paul says, all right, where then does this division and this comparison and this establishing of the pecking order and comparing ourselves against with each other, where does all of this come from, Paul asks? These things have no place in the new humanity. They belong, he says, to the old humanity. Instead, the Spirit of God has created you into a new people. And he's the great equalizer. He's the unifier of God's people across cultures and across social classes and all of these boundaries, whether you're Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We're in God's kingdom now. So the old has gone and the new has come. So Onesimus used to be a slave to Philemon, but now because you have come into this new creation, he's your beloved brother, don't you see? Your relationship has changed. It's transformed in the same way. We don't regard each other in the same way anymore. Our relationships have to be transformed because our identity has been transformed. So the same Spirit who was poured out in Jerusalem, in Antioch, and in Corinth in the first century is now filling churches scattered throughout the world, in Kinshasa, Guatemala City, in Cairo, Philadelphia. We might not know any of these people personally or ever have a chance to cross paths with them. We might have nothing in common with them from a worldly point of view, but they have become our family because we are all joined to Christ, and therefore we belong to each other together in the body of Christ. The Spirit of God is knitting together all of the believers from every continent into one body of Christ, and he's preparing a new people for his new creation, you see. So what happens here in our little congregation on the corner of 47th and Cedar is a glimpse, is a tiny little glimpse into that global body of Christ. Our primary identity is no longer whether we are white, black, Latino, or Asian, nor our income bracket, whether we are white color or blue color, but that we are members of Christ's body. We belong to Jesus, and therefore we belong to all of the Christians of the global church and to each other here with all of our various diverse backgrounds and experiences and outlooks. We are one. We have a common identity, Christ. Paul says, remember who you are. Now, what that means for us is we need to make room in our hearts and in our lives for those who are culturally different from us. This church is where we learn cultural humility, where we learn how to approach one another, not as experts or as patrons, you know, people, you are the beneficiaries of my ministry, but as co-learners, as family members together in Christ Jesus. You're being stretched, you see. God is growing you to be more than your natural self. And thanks to this brother, to the sister who's different from you now, it's in your life, they're in your life, you're being stretched. You're becoming more than yourself. You're becoming more like Christ Jesus. That's a lot harder than just reciting the Apostles' Creed. You know, the part, you know, we say this kind of just rolls off our tongue because where it says, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church with a small c, to differentiate between the Roman Catholic Church and the Church Universal, and I say, I believe in the communion of saints, you know, and that's easy to say, but it's a lot harder to actually live that out. a lot harder, but that's where true life is. That's where true freedom is. And so Paul says, now that you believe it, you have to live it. You have plenty of opportunities to live that out here in this church right here. Will you take advantage of them? So second part. Many members, many gifts. This is God's reversal of status. And we see this in verses 14 to 26. After addressing the oneness of the body, Paul addresses the diversity. He says, even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And so this is the genius of this metaphor. The body is made up of many parts or members. It's hard to imagine, but think about it. If you took out your kidneys, and then you took out your teeth, and you looked at them side by side, or if you looked at your eyeballs and your eardrums, and then looked at them side by side, it's hard to imagine that they're all parts of the same organism, right? They look so different. But it's one body, very different members, very diverse parts. These differences and diversity are a gift to the whole, you see. That's how the whole body is able to live and to function. But when there's a diversity, Paul says, it's tempting to assign a pecking order. It's tempting to assign a hierarchy. The body image, you have to realize, this wasn't original to Paul. In the Roman world, political philosophers talked about the body politic. They said Roman society was like a body made up of many different parts. The emperor is a head, and different citizens had their own parts to play, and different parts meant different rankings. Some had important jobs in this body, so they were given greater honor, like the senators and the wealthy, but others had less honorable jobs, and so were given less honor, like servants and slaves. For the society to function properly, this caste system needed to be supported, and everybody needed to know their proper place and do their proper part so that the whole body could function properly. And this was the Roman thinking, in clear contrast to the Roman body politic. Paul says, in the body of Christ, it's different. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. In other words, in the Roman society, you were used to giving all of the honor to some and no honor to others. But in the society where Jesus is head, not Caesar, you are to give honor to all. No matter what the difference is in worldly status or diversity in your gifts. In fact, those parts of the body that used to be treated with less honor and maybe even contempt are now elevated to a status of equality and mutuality in the body of Christ. You see? That's how Paul spoke into the situation that was going on in the Corinthian church. So he says, you think establishing a pecking order and getting greater honor and greater say, you know, this power struggle, you think that this is how you should be because you believe that you have the greater gifts, the more spiritual gifts, so the greater status, and you have to put other people in their place because they have less worthy gifts. But that's the Roman body. It's not the body of Christ. Let's think about this globally. Just as Paul subverted the Roman idea of hierarchy, God is subverting our assumptions about what part of the global church is stronger or weaker. Because for centuries, the Western church seemed to be the stronger church. Christianity's center was in Europe and North America. The Western church had wealth, seminaries, mission boards, global influence. So it was taken for granted that gospel transmission went in one direction, from the West to the rest. But today, more than two-thirds of the world's Christians live in the global South. God has honored the weaker parts, churches of the majority world, with vibrant growth, deep spirituality, renewed missionary zeal. African churches have been sending missionaries to North America and to Europe. And the fastest growing churches in the West have been led by these immigrants, who used to be called the mission field. It's a kind of a gospel reversal. The former mission field are now sending missionaries to the old centers of Christendom. I was in the East End of London a few weeks ago in a neighborhood called Canning Town, and I visited a Church of England congregation there that used to be about a decade ago on the threshold of death, but now is reviving and thriving, led in large part by the African immigrant members. English Christians are learning how to be led by their brothers and sisters from their former colonies, which is, this is a huge shift in from the way that things were. They're learning to listen and to receive, not only teach and to give and to lead, and God is building his church where the church was thought to be finished. What we are seeing is the body of Christ being rebalanced. God is giving greater honor to the parts of the body that the world once overlooked. There is much more a sense of mutuality in the global church. It's no longer west to the rest. The gospel now flows in every direction. And leadership of the church is not just solely the role of the West, but shared. It's polycentric. The body of Christ is finding new strength in its once weaker members. Now, again, this is not the decline of the Western church, but divine design for the global church. It's a fulfillment of Paul's vision for interdependence and mutual honor in the body of Christ. And the missiologist, Andrew Walls, he calls our time an Ephesian moment. A moment which was described in Ephesians 2 and 3, when Jews and Gentiles, once divided, came together in Christ as one new humanity. Walls says that today, the different parts of the global church are being brought together into a deeper encounter and communion with each other. Each brings a different perspective, a different way. God is a reality that's much far too big for just one culture to be able to see. It requires many, many different cultures. And so we are only together in conversation and in communion can we begin to grasp the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of Christ's love in Ephesians 3:18. So this is an Ephesian moment when the global church of Christ is learning again that no single culture can contain the fullness of Christ. When we listen to our brothers and sisters of the global church, and when we start to share in their joy and in their suffering and in their communal faith, we are not just hearing about just another culture like a tourist. We are hearing another part of Christ's body that we belong to, helping us to see God from a different perspective. And the same is true in this room, isn't it? God has arranged the members of his body, white, black, Latino, Asian, male, female, engineers, teachers, artists, business people, pastors, each with different gifts, so that together we might display his fullness into the world. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing yourself as a part of that? Are you living into that? Third part, one mission, many callings, our shared participation, verses 27 to 31. Each vocation, each congregation, each cultural expression is a local manifestation of Christ's global body that's at work. Paul says in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Do you know what that means? When Paul says you are the body of Christ, he's not speaking only to pastors. Every believer is a minister. The Spirit gives gifts to all. Teachers, engineers, healthcare workers, and artists, each one is vital to the body's life and mission. We often think missions is done by overseas, by professionals, and ministry gets done by ordained clergy. But God's mission and God's ministry happens wherever his people work, create, heal, play, and serve. Every profession becomes a way for all of God's people to participate in all of God's redemptive work. You see, God's work of redemption isn't just about forgiveness of sins. You know, we gain a fire insurance and we just wait around until we can get to heaven. He wants to redeem everything about our lives, our relationships, our societies, our work, our environment. And Jesus says, I am making all things new, not just parts, all things. That means everything that we put our hands to has a redemptive purpose. It's got a part to play in God's mission of redeeming all things. Because God wants his creation to flourish in every way, for his world to be reflecting his character, to be compassionate, to be creative, to delight in discovery and learning, to love, to worship, to serve. He wants his creation to be full of flourishing and life and joy. That means all of God's people, with all of the rich diversity of the gifts that he's given to you all, to join his mission. It's not just the clergy. Clergy is just a small part of that. But he wants all of God's people to love him and to serve him with all that they are, including your profession in the world and your life within the church. So it's got to be done together. It's got to be done together. We have to live as one body. The calling that God has placed on each one of us is to use our professional and spiritual gifts in collaboration, not in competition, for the healing of the world. It's a mutual mission. It's a whole body of Christ mission, not missions done just by individual heroes, you know, just lone Christian commandos that are scattered out there. Listen, a big part of why he has brought us together in this church is so that by being in each other's lives, we'll be trained by the Lord here through our life together on how to be a people marked by humility, a people who are marked by collaboration, mutuality, interdependence, community, who know how to belong, who truly know how to belong to a community. In other words, we've been called here to be trained to be a person of God's kingdom, who bring whatever gifts that God has given us to this world as an instrument of healing and redemption. Through profession, character, surrender to the Spirit of God, the church is a training ground for you and for me to grow as God's witness, as well as a way for us to serve as a witness together, collectively. Think about it. In the church, we have many opportunities to learn how to use our gifts with humility and mutuality. You see, God uses us to help mature each other. God provides us with opportunities to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about this next week, you know, because we can think that our gifts are the primary thing, but actually it's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, it's whatever gifts that God has given to us that we bring with the fruit of the Spirit in the imitating the character of Christ. And God wants to really train us in that and make us mature in this. But in the church, we can also allow our immaturity to have the upper hand, and we can blow those opportunities. Because look at the Corinthian church. Paul uses the illustration of the body again to paint the picture. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. This is what happens when parts of the body starts leveling contempt and condemnation against other parts of the body. It's immaturity gone amok. Such a body cannot survive, can it? One part of the body wants to go one way. Another wants to go another way. How can such a body even keep existing, let alone flourish? People can't mature beyond this way of living. It wouldn't be a blessing to this world. Instead, they're going to contribute to the world that's coming apart. But if we really learn our lesson here, amongst the family of God, of knowing what it means to mutually honor each other and how to learn how to collaborate in such a way that every gift is utilized and lifted up, really learn how to be the body of Christ together, then we would be a people who could truly be a blessing to this world. This world doesn't need more people with good ideas who's going to squash other people to promote themselves. This world doesn't need more people who's going to hoard power and privilege at the expense of those who are vulnerable and marginalized. But this world does need people who know how to live trusting God and uplift others and care for others even in times of scarcity and anxiety. You see, this world needs people who have learned how to live as members of the body of Christ. Jeremy just reminded us of the need, even in a nationwide scale, of the tremendous need that many, many families in our communities are going to be experiencing if SNAP benefits run out. Those needs have already been there, always been there, but this is an opportunity for us to start thinking about what kind of people are we supposed to be. Do we truly, as Paul says, suffer when one part of the body suffers? Do we truly rejoice when one part of the body rejoices? Do we know what it means for us to be in community with people with the whole body, the global body of Christ? This is an opportunity for us. Opportunity for us to reflect, opportunity for us to act and grow in imitating Christ. Friends, are you seeking the Lord to lead you in knowing how your work, your profession, your cultural background might be a part of God's global redemptive work? Your whole self is being called to be a part of this mission of love. Are you walking in the light of that? God's mission is global, but He has placed each member locally, vocationally, and relationally, and each of you have a share in it. The question is not whether you're called to mission, but how your work and life and community participates in the life of the mission of God. So, a teacher shaping young minds, a doctor bringing healing to the body, a business leader practicing integrity, these are all expressions of God's redemptive purpose in this world. And the life of Christ's body that's on mission, our work becomes worship. Our vocation becomes participation. Our profession becomes proclamation. God wants to grow us into this vision of interdependence and mutual honor, and He wants to do this in this church as well. We're a microcosm of that global body of Christ. God is calling us into that life of mutuality. This is so much bigger than any one of us, but we're being invited to participate in what God is doing. So there can be no room for self-promotion or contempt or judgmentalism in the body of Christ. We are being shepherded into lifting each other up with mutual honor and walking together in humility. Are you heeding this call into the life of His body, friends? When each one of us are led into that life of mutuality, the church will flourish. When our church flourishes in that life of the kingdom, we are going to contribute to the flourishing of the global body of Christ and to the flourishing of this world. See, God had a dream about this. He has a dream about this world that's made new. And He had a dream of a new humanity that would be redeemed from this world and would live with Him, worship with Him, and serve Him, and live forever with Him in His presence forever. And when He saw you, He wanted you. He saw you as a part of that body of Christ. And this is the dream that sent Jesus from heaven to earth. This is a vision that sent Him to the cross. And this is the reason why we are here today and we say we are forgiven, because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you share in His dream? Do you share in His vision? Friends, He's inviting you into this. Let's live that together. We live in a remarkable time, a time when the body of Christ is global, diverse, more alive than ever before. The Spirit is weaving together voices from every nation, profession, and culture into one single song of redemption. The question is, are we going to listen to each other? Both to the global church and to each other here in this local body? Will we receive the gifts that other parts of the body bring? Will we offer our own gifts, our work, our professions, our lives to the mission of God who is redeeming all things? Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, you have baptized us into one body. Whether we are from the north or the south, from the east or the west, whether we are teachers, artists, builders, or caregivers, Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, teach us to live as members of the body who honor one another. Save us from pride and contempt, the ways of the old humanity, and bring this congregation and into the global church of Christ. And Lord, may we learn how to live as your one body together. I pray, Lord, that you wouldn't allow any part of your body to say to another, I don't need you. But instead, help us to rejoice that you are making us whole. Teach us to receive from those that we once thought weak and to share what you have entrusted to us with humility and with love. Renew in us your vision of the world that is made new, where every gift, every calling, every culture finds its place in your redeeming work. And I pray, Lord, that you will send us out to be your hands and feet in our workplaces, in our neighborhoods, and among the nations. I pray that may our work become worship, our vocation, participation, our professions, proclamation of your good news. Won't you unite us with our sisters and brothers around the world, that together we might bear witness to your kingdom until the earth is filled with your knowledge of your glory as the waters cover the sea. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, through whom all things are being made new. Amen.